Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
This is the Mid-Evening News at 5 o'clock. I'm Daniel Brennan. In this bulletin, the Oireachtas Housing Committee and MICA affected homeowners today regarding the revised defective block scheme.
That's the issues in around cost that we believe is in pillar number one. Pillar number two is to do with the science.
Problems regarding the probable presence of pyrite in affected homes has also been raised today.
It's really crystal clear from the analysis that we presented.
The family of a 7-year-old girl who died following an incident at a swimming pool in Spain are believed to be from Donegal. The September date to publish this year's Leaving Cert results has been called disappointing, and Letterkenny University Hospital is under increasing pressure due to a COVID outbreak.
We will be keeping our visiting policy under review.
Well, those stories in full and a lot more coming up over the next half hour. Also, Oisín Kelly will be here with the latest in sport at a quarter past five. To this evening's main stories, and the Oireachtas Housing Committee has heard from defective block affected homeowners today, calling for 100% redress. Homeowner representatives from Donegal, Clare and Mayo, as well as their chosen experts, faced questioning from a number of deputies and senators regarding the currently proposed revised defective blocks bill. PRO of the MICA Action Group, Michael Doherty, outlined to committee members the main points of the proposed new scheme homeowners had issues with. He says that they outlined costs and rates, issues with the scheme regarding downsizing, as well as the presence of other deleterious materials not currently being covered by the scheme, all need to be addressed.
We're looking at the caps that are in there that are 420,000. And that actually, when that cap was first introduced, when the scheme was announced back at the end of November last year, that affected 18% of our homeowners. Because of inflation today, it affects a third of our homeowners. The second one is the penalty-free downsizing. That needs to be in there. We can't penalise people that are taking the grant available and trying to make the most of it to build a smaller home. That's just morally wrong. The third thing we have in there is to do with the rates. The rates have to be solid. The rates have to be reviewed before we launch the scheme. We can't launch a scheme that's going to be hitting the ground in months' time with figures that are back from February of last year. They need to be reviewed, they need to be up to date, and then there needs to be an inflationary number applied to that. Otherwise, our rates are in arrears for the next 12 months, and the homeowner stands that cost. That has to be done. That's the issues in around cost that we believe is in pillar number one. Pillar number two is to do with the science. We have got scientists here, we have geologists here, we have a compelling case that says we have missed the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is a deleterious material that's not even referenced in IS 465. It's called pyrrhotite. It should have been referenced in there because we have a 2004 European standard that ought to have been included by NSAI and wasn't. And on the back of that, we're suffering the consequences and we're in a standoff situation between the department and the local authority in Donegal where there's 369 applications stalled because they don't know how to deal with the fact with pyrrhotite, and the lens of IS 465 filters everything out bar pyrrhotite and mica.
Professor Paul Dunlop was another of the representatives on behalf of Donegal homeowners there today. He says that independent research carried out by himself and his colleagues has pointed to the presence of pyrrhotite potentially being the main issue with defective blocks throughout County Donegal. He says that the updated science must be followed up on by government.
We've looked independently at the concrete. We're not restricted to the IS 465 protocols. It's really crystal clear from the analysis that we presented, and we presented that research at the European Parliament on the 23rd of March. And it's absolutely clear from the research that we've done that pyrrhotite is oxidizing, it's releasing sulfur, the sulfur is turning into sulfuric acid, and that is attacking the cement hydrates. So we have found a process that's really connected to cracking of concrete blocks in Donegal, and it is a real thing, and it can't really be ignored. Now, based on the regulations that were in place, Michael has already said that a lot of these homes were built during the Celtic Tiger year. They were European standards, EN 12620-2002, aggregates for concrete, specified very clearly at the time that if pyrrhotite is present in the aggregate, then 0.1% of sulfur can be released. Okay, so it's very, very low levels. Now, analysis from that we have done along with Andreas and Nick has clearly identified in areas where you're getting the cracking that is where you're finding pyrrhotite being oxidized and sulfur being released. And Andreas presented really good results that showed sulfur being released in situ in the blocks in Donegal now today. It's a really serious problem because in Donegal, IS465 is at the moment are making decisions that the problem is mica and mica alone. And we have people who are involved in the setting up of that protocol holding on to those old ideas. We need the science to move forward.
The family of a 7-year-old girl who died following an incident at a swimming pool in Spain are believed to be from Donegal. Emergency services were called to a hotel in Mallorca on Monday. The girl was treated for cardiorespiratory arrest using CPR and transferred to a nearby hospital where she passed away yesterday afternoon. Letterkenny University Hospital is under increasing pressure due to a COVID-19 outbreak. 39 infectious cases are currently being dealt with at the hospital. Staff shortages due to an increase in staff testing positive for the virus as well is also having a knock-on effect. Speaking with Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show, Sean Murphy, the manager of LUH, says they will continue to monitor the situation.
At this stage, we're doing nothing other than asking people to limit visiting to the areas that are affected by COVID. We will be keeping our visiting policy under review. Quite frankly, Greg, we want to make the hospital as accessible as possible to family members. Right? We recognise the benefits of that. It's getting that balance between having safe levels of access and not introducing potential spread of COVID from the community. In terms of the impact on services, again, our focus is on maintaining services as fully as possible. We have been doing Trojan work in terms of the elective work. Endoscopy work is up massively. Our waitlists have decreased by over half in the last 6 months. We've seen large increases in the number of outpatients that we're seeing. We want to maintain that throughput. Some services may be impacted if a number of staff in that area end up going off sick and short notice if they become COVID positive or symptomatic. We can't have staff coming in that have got symptoms until they've got a negative test result. Yep.
The Union of Students in Ireland has described the date set to publish this year's Leaving Cert results as disappointing. Leaving Cert results will be issued to students on September 2nd, which is 3 weeks later than usual. The delay is caused by a shortage of examiners, deferred exams, as well as ensuring grades are not lower than last year. Megan O'Connor from the USI says students will face a number of pressures when colleges return.
We're compacting more and more information and piling it onto students in order to make mandatory deadlines in institutions. So it is really disappointing. We're considerate of the challenges that the State Examinations Commission has faced, but we were really hoping that it would be a lot earlier because we're all going to be scrambling now to respond to this.
The population of Donegal has increased by 4.5% since 2016. In Donegal, the preliminary figures of the 2022 census show that the population on April 3rd here was 166,321, up over 7,000 from the previous census. But that's the joint lowest increase in the country. With more, here's Emma Ryan.
The preliminary findings of the 2022 census revealed that the population included 83,946 females and 82,375 males. This is an increase of 7,129 people since 2016. This was made up of a natural increase of 3,682 and an estimated net inward migration of 3,447. The total housing stock in Donegal in April 2022 was 86,489. This shows an increase of 2,558 since 2016. There were 9,851 vacant dwellings, which was 1,853 fewer than in 2016. This does not include holiday homes, of which there were 12,377.
Traveller children are showcasing a lack of trust in Gardaí from a very young age, according to a new study. The UL research looked at the relationship between travellers, the Gardaí and the judiciary system, which found 84% of travellers didn't believe the Gardaí treated everyone fairly. Testimonies also heard some were afraid to ask questions if they were in court in case they were judged for it. Co-author of the report, Dr. Cindy Joyce, says mistrust in the justice system is being passed through generations of travellers due to their experiences.
Although this research related to the period from 2016 to 2021, some of our respondents raised their own negative childhood experiences with the criminal justice system, particularly with the Gardaí, and an obstacle to building trust. In the present day, respondents described their own children's mistrust with the criminal justice system, and little seems to have changed.
Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson says he fell off his chair laughing when the Taoiseach accused his party of bullying. Leo Varadkar alleged yesterday that Sinn Féin are constantly attacking the government both personally and in the Oireachtas. It comes as the Taoiseach engaged in a heated row with Piers Doherty in the Dáil last week. Responding to Leo Varadkar, Deputy O'Brien says there's no online abuse by members of Sinn Féin.
I have to say I fell off my chair with laughter yesterday when I heard the comments. Let's be very clear. What we do at leaders' questions is we scrutinise and hold the government to account. Leo does not like scrutiny. He doesn't like answering questions, not just from Sinn Féin, from others. There's no online abuse by members of Sinn Féin or elected representatives of Sinn Féin. In fact, I could show you some online abuse I get from colleagues of Leo's. The crucial point is here. Leo is trying to present himself as a victim when all we're trying to do is hold him to account.
Ukraine is set to receive EU candidate status today. Leaders are in Brussels for a summit where the country's application will be considered, along with bids by Moldova and Georgia. While candidate status is to be granted, the actual process for the country to gain full membership is likely to take a number of years. Speaking in Brussels, Taoiseach Micheál Martin says Ireland won't stand in the way of a nation seeking a better future.
We in Ireland know what the European Union means, being a member of the European Union. It's the 50th anniversary of Ireland's decision to join the European Union, probably the single most transformative decision and event that happened in modern Irish history. And so I've always cannot comprehend how we could ever refuse accession to other member states, because we know that membership itself can be transformative.
The time's 12 minutes past 5 o'clock. We'll take a short break, and sports coming up after these.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time's just gone a quarter past five. Time to go over to Oisín Kelly with all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Daniel. As a mark of respect to Damian Casey, the Tyrone CCC have postponed all games in the county this weekend. The senior and reserve all-county league games on Friday and Saturday, and the under 17 and 19 games on Sunday will now not take place this weekend and will be rescheduled with a double round of fixtures later in the summer. The 29-year-old, who was regarded by many as the greatest hurler Tyrone has ever produced, died in a swimming accident in Spain last weekend. Damien's funeral will take place on Sunday in St Patrick's Church, Dungannon. Derry GAA are facing into another big day double header. On Saturday, the red and white will descend on Dublin, with the seniors kicking off the All-Ireland quarterfinals at Croke Park at 3:45. But before that, the minors of Derry will play Galway for a place in the All-Ireland minor final. That game at Parnell Park starts at 1 o'clock on Saturday. If Derry win, the county will be contesting a third final in the last 6 years. They did, of course, win it in 2020 under Martin Boyle, who has remained in charge since. He feels the defeat in the Ulster final to Tyrone proved to be a huge lesson for his side.
They've got the jag in terms of how important mentality is and your attitude to your performance. They admitted they were off it against Tyrone at stages. So they've learned that lesson, and they've seen with a proper mentality and the right mentality how it can transfer and transmit into a much improved performance. So here's hoping, but I suppose they're 16, 17 years of age. You have to guide them as much as possible. But here's hoping that'll, with having they'll heed that warning and they won't be going soft mentally this week now.
And there'll be more from Martin Boyle tonight on the Score programme just after the 7 o'clock news. Also on the show, Martin McHugh will look at the All-Ireland Senior Quarterfinals. Gavin Cullen joins us to look at the FAI Senior Cup draw and this weekend's Premier Division action. Our athletics correspondent, Patsy McGonigal, previews the National Senior Track and Field Championships at Santry for the Northwest Medal contenders, and will be joined in studio by Karen Harvey of the 24/7 Triathlon Club as they look ahead to the Sheephaven Half Triathlon, which takes place in Downings on Saturday. It's all on the Score tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Republic of Ireland midfielder Roman McLaughlin admits that Sunday's friendly win against the Philippines was a wake-up call for the squad. Vierf Pugh's team claimed a 1-0 win in the friendly match in Turkey, which was arranged in order to help the players acclimatise for their big game this Monday. Georgia provide the opposition in the World Cup qualifiers, a side whom they defeated 11-0 in the home qualifier. Any show native McLaughlin, who recently returned to the squad, feels they need to be better when it comes to making chances in front of goal.
We've played Georgia before, but I think it's going to be a whole different ball game. I know they might have been missing a lot of players and stuff from COVID back when we beat them. I think it was 11-0. So we kind of just have to expect unexpected, really. We know we have to go out and play our own game. We have to, I think, create more chances than we did against the Philippines, definitely. And take those chances when they come.
Sligo Rovers have announced that Jordan Hamilton has left the club by mutual consent. The Canadian international striker joined the Betterfred in February and made his debut the following month. The 26-year-old appeared 13 times for Rovers, scoring 2 goals. His most recent game came away to Bohemians last month. Waterford FC have been put up for sale again, little over a year after being purchased by Richard Force R&S Holding Limited. The First Division club has been valued at €1.3 million. Cross Channel, Newcastle are set to make their second signing of the summer. Burnley goalkeeper Nick Pope has been undergoing a medical ahead of a €12 million move. Newcastle have already spent €17 million, making Matt Taggart's loan move from Aston Villa a permanent one. While in golf, Stephanie Meadow was 1 under par with 5 holes remaining of her opening round at the Women's PGA Championship. Leona Maguire gets her first round underway just after 10 past 6. The leader is Beth Sutta on 4 under par. The leader is Korea's Ingi Chun at 4 under par in Beth Sutta. Rory McIlroy on the men's front is just a shot off the lead on day 1 of the Travelers Championship. He's 6 under par with 3 to play. Xander Schauffele heads the field at 7 under. Seamus Power is set to take on his first round just after 6. That's your sport, Daniel.
Thanks, Oisin. Back to news now. And the Donegal coach operator has warned if the cost of fuel continues to increase, the customers will ultimately suffer. John McGinley, the owner of McGinley Coaches, says up to now they've been absorbing the cost of increases, but says it's now become unsustainable. Speaking to Greg Hughes today, Mr. McGinley said despite the government's attempts to introduce measures to combat the rising costs, it will not be of much benefit to operators like himself.
It's been going up and up and up for the last year and a half. We have to now, we have absorbed it, but I suppose you get to a point that, unfortunately, that it has to be passed on to the end user. The hope always was that this war in Ukraine might come to an end and that fuel prices might come back to a more normal price. At the moment, I suppose the biggest problem is that, you know, we don't even have an end in sight. We're hearing at the moment the government are talking about they're going to give discounts to transport users, but unfortunately that won't make its way down to any of the long distance services that we or indeed any of our other operators in the county do. It's more to do with PSO services. That's, you know, your Dublin bus, your Lewis, mm-hmm. your trains.
But that's unfair to you, isn't it?
Well, it's unfair to us, but it's also unfair to our customers, because yeah. ultimately, you know, if fuel prices go up and fares have to increase, it's ultimately the customer that's going to be paying for it.
Weather now, it'll be a mostly dry evening with a mix of cloud and sunny spells. Tonight will be mostly cloudy with patches of light rain and drizzle. It'll be mild with temperatures not falling below 11 to 14 degrees Celsius. To this evening's main stories once again, and the Oireachtas Housing Committee has heard from MICA and defective block affected homeowners today regarding the proposed revised defective block scheme. Issues regarding the probable presence of pyrite in affected homes was one of the main issues raised at the hearing today. The family of a 7-year-old girl who died following an incident in a swimming pool in Spain are believed to be from Donegal. The September date to publish this year's Leaving Cert results has been called disappointing by students. And Letterkenny University Hospital remains under increasing pressure today due to a COVID-19 outbreak. That's all from the news desk for now. I'll be back with headlines again coming up at 6 o'clock. But for now, it's over to Chris Ashmore for this week's Farming News and Views.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be looking at the new agri-environmental scheme, which has attracted a lot of attention, a scheme that is going to affect many farmers here in Donegal. But first, the next meeting of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA has been rescheduled and will now take place next Monday evening on the farm of James Strain near Burnfoot. Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnellogue will be in attendance and local TDs have also been invited. Earlier this week, there was an announcement from the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine regarding the online application system for the €56 million fodder support scheme. Well, since then, the application system has been updated and is now open for farmers who have ANC Category 1 land. Farmers who wish to apply for the fodder support scheme can do so either themselves or through their advisor up to the 2nd of August. Well, the IFA President Tim Cullinan has expressed some concerns about the new agri-environmental scheme and that it could be a bureaucratic nightmare. Well, in the past, we've had various schemes like REPS, EOS and GLOSS, and they are hugely important for Donegal farmers. So just what do we know about the new scheme? Well, Michael Biggins is the IFA's Rural Development Committee Chairman, and he's been telling me more. Michael, there appears to be some confusion and a lack of clarity, concerns about red tape. So where exactly are we in relation to this new scheme?
Well, Chris, we haven't progressed an awful lot. There was an announcement of a launch the day before yesterday. And really all the new information we got was we got a name for it, ACRES, Agri-Climate Rural Environmental Scheme. We're still waiting on the scheme to be actually sanctioned by Brussels. There are advisors and that's been trained next month as regards dealing with the scheme. But the actual nitty-gritty on it is very slim on the ground currently. What we do know is that there's a provision there for 50,000 farmers to get into the scheme, which we think will not meet the demand at all, because over 11,000 applied for the REAP project last year, and there's 48,000 that were in GLOSS. So you're looking at in excess of 60,000 that have an ambition to get into an environmental scheme one way or the other. So we think it's going to be there are going to be farmers left behind. What I would be worried about is, that there's no gap year, for farmers. If they're talking about dealing with them, taking in farmers and in tranches like this. That would equate anybody in category one or so would get in automatically. But if you're tier two or tier three, there's a fair chance that you won't get into a scheme next year at all. That would mean a break in payments. We honestly feel that there's no way that farmers can afford to let have a gap year in payments as regards an environmental scheme. Traditionally, it's usually low-income beef and sheep farmers that have joined environmental schemes, and that they form a huge proportion of their income, so they just can't afford to have a gap year where there's no environmental data coming. But we're saying, in order to take the pressure off, there's 12,000 farmers that are in GLOSS 3. They've only been rolled over 1 year, that's the current year. And there's nothing stopping the department from rolling over that 12,000 into next year. And they'll stay in GLOSS for 2023. And it would free up a lot of spaces for people that would be looking at, being out of a scheme.
And these schemes, since the inception of REPS, and it was pretty successful, for counties like Donegal, this is hugely important.
It is massively important. And The sad thing is people keep referring this to new reps, and that was mentioned in the programme for government. And I can assure you, farmers out there, that it's anything but a new reps. It's nothing like reps, and it won't deliver the same. Yeah. The fact that it's results-based, it puts a lot of pressure on farmers to actually come up with those perfect scores. And it's not going to be as simple as we're led to believe. As well as that, people, and a lot of Donegal would be in what's called the co-op area. There's a bit of confusion there. Like the co-op would have a manager appointed. They'd be paid out of CAP funding as well, which is a leakage of funds as far as we're concerned. And the farmer would have to go to his own planner in order to apply for the scheme. The problem we find is that there's more people getting into the trough all the time.
So in the short term, the IFA and other organisations, we need more detail, we need more clarity, we need more information. The actual time frame, Michael, just how soon do we need to get this all sorted out?
People that have been Category 1 making an application at the end of this year. So people that went, particularly in the co-op areas, they were making an application. I think they're could be starting in September, October. That would be for next year. Well, we welcome the scheme and we welcome the fact that it's progressing, albeit slowly. But like the amount of engagement the department have had with ourselves and has been minimal.
And have we any idea of what the sort of average payment or the maximum payment could be?
The maximum payment in the co-op area is set, I think it's 10,300, and in the individual payments then. People that aren't in the co-op area, at the maximum they can get is something around 7,500. But like that, the actual makeup of what sort of a suite of measures you have to put together to reach that, and the fact that it's results based, we find it's going to have a huge impact on a huge negative impact on the amount of people that will reach the maximum.
Yeah, and I suppose if you take those figures and you go back to the original reps, in real terms, taking inflation and everything into account, the payments haven't kept pace.
There was reps 1, 2, 3, and there was AOS in between, and there was GLAS, and now you have acres. The payments have actually gone back, compared to what was available way back in reps. While the budget has got bigger, the fact that they're taking in more people, it just means that it's way back on the actual individual's payments.
So finally, Michael, what's likely to happen over the next month? What does the IFA want?
We want more detail, first of all. There are a few aspects of it that we'd like to have an engagement with. We would like to see that maximum 10,300, that would be available to all farmers. In order to keep their promise in the programme for government of a reps-style environmental scheme and a reps and equal to it in payments, 10,000 needs to be available to all farmers across the board.
And that was Michael Biggins, the IFA's Rural Development Committee Chairman. And finally, well done to all the Donegal children and schools who did so well in the AgriAware Incredible Edibles programme. The children simply blew the judges away with the scale and quality of their work. At a time when there's a growing disconnect from where our food originates, the Incredible Edibles programme helped children to learn all about how food gets to their plates while growing their own fruit, vegetables and herbs as well. This is the 14th year of the competition, huge number of entries, and Incredible Edibles gold winners in the Northwest included plenty from Donegal. So well done to those in the Ballymore National School in Dunfanaghy, the Doherty household in Inch Island, Mairead Ferries Junior Infants in Letterkenny Educate Together, Lorraine Falls Senior Infants in Rafoe Central National School, and Rebecca Gilroy Senior Infants in St Mary's School in Stranorlar. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Obituary notices for Thursday evening, June 23rd. The death has occurred of Patrick McGurran, Ross Noreen, Dingley Cush, Bundoran. His remains are reposing at the family home today until 10 p.m. and tomorrow from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. House private at all other times and on the morning of the funeral, please. Removal from the family home on Saturday morning at 11:30 a.m. to arrive at the Church of Our Lady Star of the Sea, Bundoran, for Mass of the Resurrection at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in St Ninian's Cemetery, Newton, Bundoran. The funeral mass can be viewed live on www.maheenparish.ie. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if so desired, to the North West Hospice, the Mall, Sligo, care of the donation box at the family home, or by post to Donal Breslin at Breslin's Funeral Home, Bundoran. The death has taken place of Brother Bosco Conley, OFM Cap, Ad Wura, Capuchin Friary, Creasla, and formerly Kilkenny. His remains will arrive at the Capuchin Friary, Ards, tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. to repose overnight. Funeral mass there on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. followed by burial in the Friary Cemetery. The death has occurred of Bridget Bridey Gormley, Knee Crossing, late of 73, Swallowilly Road, Cloddy, County Derry. Reposing at her late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon, leaving at 2:15 p.m. for 3 p.m. Requiem Mass in St Joseph's Church, Craigbane. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please, and donations, if desired, in lieu to Foyle Hospice, care of McLaughlin Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Hugh Bonner, Garragunnock, Stirlingshire, Scotland, and formerly of the Diamond, Lifford. Funeral Mass will take place on Tuesday morning at 11:30 a.m. in St Mary's R.C. Church, Stirling, with burial immediately afterwards in Garragunnock Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the parish YouTube channel. The death has taken place of Ali McGeady, 31, Tara Court, Letterkenny, formerly Mean Derry, Volcarra. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral Mass on Saturday at 11 a.m. in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Gortlee, Letterkenny. Burial afterwards in New Leck Cemetery. The death has taken place of Eddie Duffy, Ahalati, Carrigart. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, going to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigart, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, to family and friends. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.